Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
Hey, mommy.
And Glenn Leverins.
That's how I know. This is Morning Air.
Wake up, America. It's Friday, August 11th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the Memorial of St. Clair of Assisi. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, today is the Memorial of St. Clair of Assisi, the founder of the Poor Clares. St. Clair was born of a noble family in Assisi and imitated St. Francis in the virtue of poverty. And she was exemplary in her life of penance. In 1958, Pope Pius XII declared St. Clair of Assisi to be the patroness of the then-emerging medium of television. Let's remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well as the Passion and Death of our Lord Jesus Christ as we do every single Friday. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what is the latest with, of course, the big story here this morning, the wildfires in Hawaii?
Yeah, the island of Maui, John, just devastated the town of Lahaina, just down to the ground, to ashes for the most part. Death toll now stands at 55. Let's hear from Hawaii's governor.
I'm walking right now on Front Street in Lahaina and talking on a satellite phone with you. There is no doubt everyone would describe this as though a bomb hit Lahaina. It looks like total devastation. Buildings that we've all enjoyed and celebrated together for decades, for generations, are completely destroyed. And I mean smoldering still. Churches, only a few stone buildings are partially up. It looks to me like about 80% of Lahaina is gone. It will be an incredible recovery, and we're grateful to the president. He was very generous already with us, providing support through FEMA. But it is destroyed, and we will have hundreds of families displaced, so we'll begin to recover soon. First, we're going to find out what the extent of loss of life is.
Glenn, a heartbreaking situation there, as the governor described it, is total devastation. It's hard for us to even imagine the inferno that these people have had to deal with.
Absolutely. That death toll at 55 and expected to rise, with many people missing yet. The island caught in strong winds between a high-pressure system to the north and a hurricane, Hurricane Dora, to the south, that fueled the flames. The fire was moving at 70 to 80 miles an hour. People wonder how fast that can go, not leaving you a lot of time if it comes, you know, up over a large hill, if not a mountain, kind of behind the town. That's moving very fast to try and get out of the way of that. Again, people the other day jumping into the ocean, actually, to avoid that, needing to be rescued by the Coast Guard. So very sad. Among the buildings, over 300 destroyed there. And many more, and there are other parts of the island as well as Lahaina. But a couple of churches, one that's 200 years old, and then a Catholic church, Maria Lanakila Catholic Church, established in 1846, both of those destroyed too.
It is just so heartbreaking. But anytime there's a tragedy like this, there's always heroic stories. People helping their fellow citizens. Can you imagine all the first responders and all the people trying to get people out of there? So many of the residents there in Maui, had little warning before these flames, as you describe them, at 70, 80 miles an hour, just came barreling in. They had very little time, and apparently the emergency warning system in Hawaii, it did not give them any warning. It didn't really work.
And part of the infrastructure now, including trouble getting cell service back to that area too, with the winds, the heat kind of weakening some of the superstructure there for the towers and things, making it easier for things to blow down.
Yeah, this wildfire in Hawaii is already the state's deadliest natural disaster since a 1960 tsunami killed 61 people on the Big Island. But according to reports that I heard this morning, there's about 1,000 people that are still missing. So that number of 55 dead is probably going to go up, as the governor mentioned.
Yeah, many prayers for those in the area, and we have three relevant radio stations across the islands as well. And again, anyone near that, of course, all that loss of life near to our hearts as well. So offering up the prayers of relevant radio listeners.
Absolutely, and that's what we can do. We put it in the Lord's hands and continue to pray for all those people that are affected. Glenn, thanks so much for that update.
Hey, sure thing, John.
And of course, we begin every morning, as we always do, always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, and especially this morning, we pray for all the people affected by these wildfires in Hawaii, and we pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And in a special way this morning, we invoke the Holy Spirit as we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As always, you can send us an email directly if you have any thoughts or any story ideas you want to run by us. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. You can find us on social media on X, formerly Twitter. Our handle is still @morningairshow, as well as on Facebook. Our number, if you want to be part of the program here this morning, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, in a world that is constantly telling us what we need or what we need to do to be successful, to be rich, to be popular, beautiful, or is telling us what we should be paying attention to, we sometimes forget to step away and listen and discern what actually matters, and that is the voice of the Lord, God's will for us. It's important to take the time to take some moments and retreat back and see what the Lord wants from us. And joining us live for much more perspective this morning from Michigan is Sister Jacqueline Espanola, known as Sister Jackie, to share with us what discernment of spirits is all about. Sister Jackie is a Franciscan Sister of Christian Charity. She's a pastoral associate for St. Albert the Great Parish in Houghton, Michigan, and St. Anne Parish in Chiselle, Michigan. Sister Jackie is involved in campus ministry, RCIA, marriage prep, adult education, spiritual education, and faith formation, and she's been a professed sister for 51 years and has been doing Ignatian retreats since the 1980s for both the sisters and for young women. Good morning, Sister Jackie. Thanks so much for joining us here on Morning Air. It is a joy to be with you for the first time on Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you, John. It's very good to be here and to be able to discuss with you discernment of spirits.
Sister, before we talk about discernment of spirits, for folks who are not familiar with your order, the Franciscan Sisters of Christian Charity, can you just give us a real quick thumbnail sketch about them?
Yes, the Franciscan Sisters of Christian Charity started right in Wisconsin in 1869 at Clark's Mills. And we were especially teachers. And then when the need came up for hospitals, we started the first hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So our main missions at the time were teaching and healthcare. And we've kind of expanded it because there's many ways we can teach and there's many ways that we can help heal people. So it's been expanded. And we've been a community for 154 years.
Well, God bless your community and all the great work that you've been doing for over half a century, Sister Jackie. Can you tell us what exactly is discernment of spirits?
Well, discernment of spirits, as you said, is time to just sit back and to take the quiet time to really discern. And people will say, what does discerning mean? And that means to really think about what God is asking us to do, because, you know, God created us, so therefore he knows what's best for us. And many people have come to me and said, well, a priest told me I should discern, but I don't know what to do. And so it's very important. And I've learned that going through these 22 rules of discernment of spirits of Saint Ignatius is very helpful. Now, some of the rules are just very common. Like number 5 says, don't make a decision when you're very upset. And I think we've had a lot of people tell us, you know, you're too upset to make this decision. So we go through these rules and help them. And then we help them to know when God is speaking to them and when it is the devil speaking to them. For example, God would never tell you that you're no good. You really can't do what you know, God has set out for you to do. So we help them to understand, and we do it through scripture besides using the rules of discernment. And there are 22 rules that I do go through during the retreat. And then I end the retreat with discerning God's will. So again, using thoughts and feelings, who are they from? And then sometimes making pros and cons to know what God is asking them. But again, praying over the pros and cons.
These 22 rules, can you give us a sense of just a few of the ones that you think are the most important when someone is discerning?
Right. We do go through the first couple that are very important, and it's talking about consolation and desolation. So consolation, everybody has them. It's something good that happens. You know, we have good weather. We're happy because we can go out and do what we want. We get a promotion in our job. We hear good things. We get good grades in school. And we also have desolations. You know, something happened. Maybe your car breaks down. So those are just normal consolations and desolations. But what St. Ignatius is concerned about is the ones called spiritual consolation or desolation, because that will increase or decrease your faith, hope, and love of God. And so that's very important to be aware of. Some others is sometimes you have to be open and talk to someone else about it. Doesn't have to be a spiritual director, but someone that you know really knows God and is able to give good advice. So the rules are really good. And then the second set is that, you know, sometimes if the devil really can't get into your life, he's going to try to persuade you in more subtle ways. So the second set of those 22, there's 8 of them, and it just tells you to be aware of what's happening in your thoughts and in your feelings as a situation is progressing. And if it starts not looking good, that's where you have to make a decision to stop the process. So it could be a temptation, it could be a situation that you're living in, and you realize that it's not a good situation.
Sister Jackie, in this day and age with so much noise out there, you know, with the media and the internet and, you know, all the stuff is going on out there, it's so easy to be, drowned out, to not hear the voice of the Lord. So this makes these retreats that you conduct even that much more important because you got to get away from the noise to be able to listen to the voice of the Lord.
Right, and we do some of these retreats right on our property in Manitowoc, and they pray with the sisters for Mass and morning prayer, evening prayer, and then we have just after I present some of the rules, then they can go to chapel, we have adoration, they can go out to our beautiful grounds just to be alone. And they do have a little badge saying they're retreating so that people will just give them that time to just be with God. And we have woods. We're on Silver Lake. We have grottos throughout our grounds. So it's a beautiful atmosphere to be able to just slow down, get away from media, and just be with God.
And ideally, who are these retreats intended for?
The retreats that we give are intended for young women, usually 18 to 35, sometimes a little bit older, who are still trying to discern what God is calling them to and to help them. And now sometimes people think that if you go to a convent that you're going to be persuaded to be a sister, but that's not the idea. We help them discern, is God calling them to the married life, the generous single life, or to religious life? So we want them to follow whatever God wants them to follow. But they do need the time to just, as you said, get away and just, spend time with God.
How many of the young women that come to the retreats end up actually professing their vows and becoming sisters?
I would say it hasn't been a large amount, but there have been some who, after they've had the retreats, come back years later and just say they want to get involved again. Some have gone to communities, but making final profession, there have been a good handful in the last about 6 or 7 years that I've been doing the discernment retreat. But they really find it helpful to help them discern what God wants them to do.
Yeah, because Sister Jackie, obviously not everyone who's discerning is called to that vocation. So some of them may come to the realization that the Lord is not calling them.
Right, that is correct. And the more important thing is they just learn through the discernment process to know what God is calling them to be. I gave a retreat one time, and it was on Jesus the bridegroom. And one person said, oh, you mean that to be close to God, I don't have to be a sister? And so we had to talk about how God loves all of us. He wants us all to be close to him, and that we just do it through different vocations. And I also helped direct him to do some reading on St. Francis of de Sales, because he truly has a lot on laity's spirituality.
What are some of the topics that are discussed during your retreats?
Well, I have done, of course, the discernment of spirits, but I've also done Jesus the Bridegroom, that helps them to realize that God loves each and every one of us, no matter what vocation. I've done several ones, but another one that was very powerful is the one I do on the Holy Spirit, and that is inspired by all the writings of John Paul II, and it just helps them to see that the Holy Spirit is truly a person and how he works in our lives. So I have a variety of retreats, and it just depends what the person, like in May, we also have a little bit longer. I do a retreat of 3 or 4 days instead of just a weekend, and so on those retreats, we go wherever the person is being drawn to when they talk about their own life. So it's just a very beautiful time. And I've had 6 or 7 other different topics, or just discern. A truly Ignatian one is to go where they're at. And we do that too, to tailor it to the person.
Well, Sister Jackie, if a young woman happens to be listening to us here this morning providentially, maybe a word of inspiration of why they might consider becoming a sister, perhaps in your order, the Franciscan Sisters of Christian Charity.
Well, our community, as I mentioned, has been around for a long time, so when I joined the community in 1966, you have such wisdom of the sisters, and they're very hospitable. I find them so open and friendly, and they all want to be able to share their life, but also they inspire us to do what God wants us to do. So it's a beautiful community. We are a third order of St. Francis, where it's called Third Order Regular, and yes, I would say if God is calling them, this is a place to be. As you mentioned, I'm in campus ministry because I do a lot of teaching in campus ministry. So it's not just in a regular classroom. And so if they're being called to that or to healthcare, I would just ask them to discern, contact us. They can always come to visit for retreats. And hopefully, if God is calling them, they would join the Franciscan Sisters of Christian Charity.
And Sister Jackie, you have some upcoming dates for retreats by your order?
Right. We do have, and if you just go to the Franciscan Sisters of Christian Charity, we're having some on St. Francis and St. Clair in October and a repeat in November. So therefore, some are online and some are in person. I am giving a retreat on discernment of spirits in October 20th to the 22nd. We'll do an online one in January. And, you know, just go to our website under vocations, events, and they will find a whole list of them and they can sign up for them.
Well, sister, it is providential that we talk to you this morning on the feast of St. Clair, obviously the good friend of St. Francis of Assisi.
Yes, and thank you, John, for having me. I really appreciate it.
It has been my joy. Thanks so much for being with us. Sister Jacqueline Spaniola, known as Sister Jackie, a Franciscan Sister of Christian Charity, with us here this morning on Morning Air. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Juan Carlos Sanchez, the founder of Family Playland, will join us to talk about The Sound of Freedom and the history that this movie has made at the box office. So stay with us as Morning Air continues on this Friday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Levins. Your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and producer Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Friday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As always, you can send us an email directly. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 15:5. Jesus the Lord says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that without him, we cannot do anything. A branch cannot grow if it's disconnected from the vine. Christ is the source of the church's work and of our lay apostolates, of everything that we do. Without Christ, we cannot do anything, but with him, all things are possible according to his will. And we always pray with great confidence from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program here this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, Sound of Freedom, the anti-human trafficking film made by Catholic filmmakers Eduardo Verástegui and Alejandro Monteverde, and starring Catholic actor from The Passion of the Christ, Jim Caviezel, made history at the box office despite having several closed doors and after they were told nobody's going to go see this film about child trafficking. Sound of Freedom was released in theaters across our country on the 4th of July and had an incredible successful opening day in which they reached number one at the box office, beating out Disney's fifth Indiana Jones installment. And they raked in $14.24 million. And as of yesterday, August 10th, that number has swelled to $166 million. Our very own Glenn Leverins spoke to Jim Caviezel about The Sound of Freedom here on Morning Air.
You know, this is the best thing I've done since The Passion. And like The Passion, it took everything out of me physically after that movie. I weighed over 200 pounds and I was down to about 165 pounds when I finished. So I was very sick when I finished The Passion. And I would have to have two heart surgeries and I'd struck by lightning and, you know, a lot of stuff that happened on that movie, but it was worth it when you look at what it meant to mankind.
Yes.
And I was very lucky that I was able to be used as a weapon on that one, like I was used on this one, which exposes what is going on with our south border and all of the stuff that goes on, that these poor kids, they need our help. They need the light on it. They need the public to be aware of what's going on, so that, that God's children are no longer for sale.
That was a powerful interview with Jim Caviezel and our Glenn Leverance. And joining us live this morning from Florida is corporate entrepreneur Juan Carlos Sanchez, the founder of Family Playland, with much more on why A Sound of Freedom has had such a tremendous success and made such an impact on the message of truth and freedom. Juan Carlos has a career track record in the international and Hispanic media and entertainment industries. Good morning, Juan Carlos. Thank you for joining us once again. It's always good to be with you.
Good morning, John, and good morning to all your audience. Thank you for having me.
Well, Juan Carlos, you just heard a little bit of Jim Caviezel. Why do you think that the Sound of Freedom has been so amazingly successful?
Who doesn't want to listen to the truth? And that's kind of the, I think, summarizes what we're looking at right now. I mean, it's really heroic. It's basically relating to a lot of people here in America of this crisis that we currently live, and we've been living for decades, quite frankly. I think I saw the stat of more than one kid disappears in America or goes missing every 90 seconds. I think that's the stat that we're handling right now, or officials are handling right now. So imagine this same situation inside of a market that is moving kids across borders, all the way from Honduras, Nicaragua, El Salvador, and wherever there's demand, there's always going to be supply. So all of these kids are just being pushed around without some authorities are starting to pay attention to this, but it's a huge, huge market. It's in the billions and billions of dollars. So I think it's a top priority. We've seen it. We've seen it, and we live it a lot down here in Florida as well. And you've seen recently the governor passing very strict laws, trying to double down on stopping this karma down here in Florida.
Well, Juan Carlos, obviously a lot of folks have gone to the theaters to see this film. The numbers now, as of yesterday, I looked it up. It was $166 million that the film has made, which is absolutely remarkable considering their budget. I want to just play a part of the trailer as we continue to talk about Sound of Freedom.
How'd that make you feel? Giving a child his freedom.
Felt good.
You have been at this for 12 years.
My country, 'tis of thee.
Why are you doing it?
Because God's children are not for sale.
There you go, Juan Carlos. What did you like about this film, and what do you think has been captivating audiences all across our country?
We had the fortune of watching the director's cut with Alejandro and with Eduardo down here in Miami in year 2018-19 at the time. And basically what we saw at that moment was that this movie was basically moving people's hearts. I mean, I think every successful movie out there just creates an emotion. In this case, it was just sadness. I think it's what you come out feeling. It gets you low, right? And the movie's just so, the acting, the storytelling, and the execution is fantastic. Regardless of the budget, yes, as you mentioned, probably was not a huge budget, but it was so well done, and the plot is so well produced, and obviously having Caviezel coming back as part of the cast, it was huge. We saw this, and we saw the potential it had. Unfortunately, when it was launched initially, there was not a good push for it. COVID hit, and now it's just a big bomb out there, and everybody's embracing it, and people are just watching it. Obviously, it helps a lot and gives a great signal to all independent producers that if there's a good story and it's the truth, it will make a lot of money. So I think this is a great success and a great case study for everybody out there that is considering going and producing and telling these stories.
Juan Carlos, obviously we just heard Jim Caviezel in that interview with our own Glenn Leverance talk about you know, how he feels that this is the most important film that he's made since The Passion of the Christ. And when you consider the impact of The Passion of the Christ, one of the greatest films in the history of all time of Hollywood, that's a pretty big praise for this film by Jim Caviezel. And so I guess the question is, why in the world was this film dropped by Disney back in 2018? Disney, Amazon, Netflix, they did not want to distribute it after it was originally produced under 20th Century Fox back in 2018.
It's a what we call a hot potato, right? So there's topics that studios will bet more for, or like, it's not in the top of the priority of the pipeline of the studios, and there's so many productions out there. So you basically have to have a group of people or very key person pushing this within the studio. In this case, this was definitely not aligning with the pipeline and the theme that the studios had at that time. And it's understandable. So unfortunately, this is the reality in commercial theatrical releases and across the studios. And you needed someone like Angel Studios, which is very focused, very niche, very specialized on this type of efforts. And they took it, and they went all in to push it, because at the end of the day, you need a lot of resources to be able to market these type of efforts. And Angel Studios, that has been super successful with similar and faith-based productions, took the charge, and they did an amazing job.
Why do you suppose there's been so much pushback, especially from the liberal mainstream media, with even people calling this a QAnon film, when QAnon didn't even exist when this film was produced originally?
Yes, I think there's a segment of the population and certain type of organizations that do not want people to know the truth, because it's painful. A lot of people just don't want to accept the realities, and they're just trying to neglect anything that seems too, unfortunately, conservative or shows the pain that a lot of people are going through. And this is just being unfortunately weaponized, or have been tried to be weaponized. And what we've seen, the reaction of the general population, is that it just generates more curiosity. And I think, quite frankly, this attack on the movie is just making more money for the movie. So the more you attack it or try to hide the truth, somehow people are going to find out and then just want to go in and see them be a witness of the whole situation, not just take it for granted for media. But yeah, I was making the same, like, it's tough to understand why, but I think it's just a way to also try to put a push or a stop to the movie, because there's other priorities. Again, Hollywood and commercial media have other priorities, so sometimes this happens. It's not the first time.
Well, Juan Carlos, obviously you mentioned that shocking statistic. One child missing every 90 seconds in our country. This is an issue that has to be on the forefront. It has to be in the consciousness of the American public. And I think that this movie is doing a great job. I really appreciate you being with us. Perhaps the film will make it to Family Playland sometime soon. But thanks again for being with us. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me, and definitely go to watch it if you haven't. Thank you.
Juan Carlos Sanchez, the founder of Family Playland. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Bishop Daniel Muggenberg will look ahead to this Sunday's gospel with our own Glenn Leverance. Stay with us. There's much more to come.
Looking at life from a Catholic worldview,
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air on another Friday dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm John Morales. It's good to be with you. And now it's time to look ahead to this Sunday's Gospel. Always keep in mind that the Word of God in the Gospels, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, is powerful. When the Gospel, the Book Eternal, is proclaimed, Christ is passing by. Jesus is speaking to you. So listen carefully, folks, as Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, Bishop of Reno, Nevada, shares his weekly reflection on this Sunday's Gospel with our very own Glenn Leverance.
Our Gospel reading for this 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time comes from Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And time for a deeper look at that gospel reading for this 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Bishop Daniel Muggenberg joins us, as always, from the Diocese of Reno, Nevada. Bishop Muggenberg, thanks for being here.
Hey, great to be here, Glenn.
Well, I had a season of birds, robins with those beautiful blue eggs nesting pretty close to the house this spring and early summer, and found a couple little ones on the ground from time to time. And today's gospel reading is a little bit, even though it deals more with water than air and nests, but Jesus kind of kicking the disciples out to learn to fly a little bit on their own, but yet never far away.
That's a beautiful image, actually. Yes, this is a really significant time in Matthew's gospel where the disciples are actually being sent for the very first time without Jesus accompanying them. And of course, they find themselves in the midst of a life-threatening storm as a result of that. And they had all sorts of fears and doubts and everything else that are going through their minds at this moment. And Jesus takes this opportunity to teach not only them, but to teach us how to live more authentic lives of faith, especially when we find ourselves in the midst of storms.
Well, in the midst of storms, we can maybe see that we'd be afraid, like some disciples saying, "Oh, it's a ghost," and crying out in fear. And then here comes Peter, once again, week after week, gets to show his faith and clumsiness all at the same time. But they weren't happy just hearing that Jesus is there. But he's like, well, he immediately puts the Lord to the test, sort of.
He does. And Peter's statement actually has two parts to it that we really want to focus on. The first part of Peter's statement is when he says, "Lord, if it is you." And the second part of his statement is, "Command me to come to you on the water." Now, the first part of that statement is expressing doubt. Peter is doubting that Jesus can truly be with them at the darkest hour of the night when the storm and the waves and the wind are at their fiercest. Peter is doubting that God can be with them in such a terrible and terrifying experience. So Peter is really voicing that kind of doubt that we all experience when we are caught up in the midst of life-threatening storms, you know, and that really is the voice of Satan, who tempted Jesus in the desert by saying, "If you are the Son of God," and now Peter is saying to Jesus, if you really are with us in this moment." And then Peter says, "Command me to come to you on the water." Now, the second half of that phrase is revealing, because Peter is showing us a kind of a faith that thinks that the presence of God will allow us to live a carefree life in the midst of a very wounded and wounding and hostile world. And the reality is that Peter is asking for a particular grace, namely to walk on the waters, which is reserved to God alone. Rather than praying to persevere in the midst of storms, faithfully and with courage, Peter is asked to be delivered from those storms and to walk on the waters instead. And that's what we tend to do in our prayer sometimes as well. And Jesus is going to correct Peter in this moment.
The good takeaway from this, one of them, our Lord saves him instantly. It says, when he began to sink, the Lord reached out. And we would get, okay, if he's walking toward him, it seems he would have been within arm's length instantly. Probably if he was that close, he might not have lost faith, right? But our Lord made himself immediately present and of great help.
He did. Now, Jesus says to Peter, okay, Peter, if you think that you can walk on water, come. And so Peter gets out of the boat and he puts himself in an extremely vulnerable situation, and he begins to sink and he becomes more vulnerable. He needs a savior. And the bottom line of this passage is that Peter can't save himself. And he finally realizes that. And it's in his moment of utter desperation and need that he calls out to Jesus and says, Lord, save me. And in doing that, he's asking Jesus to be his salvation because Peter can't save himself. And Jesus wants to be our savior. And sometimes Jesus allows us to enter into situations of that kind of vulnerability and even desperation so that we will call out to him to be our savior as well. And in that moment, the Lord can reveal his saving power to us in a way that we could never accomplish on our own. And that brings us to deeper faith. Because now we come to know God as Lord and Savior. And that happened for Peter in this passage. So, what began as a terrible situation of distress actually was transformed into a profound and life-changing moment of saving revelation.
Pretty basic, drowning or being saved. It boils down to that. And sometimes, and we talk about our Lord being the Savior in this particular instance, absolutely there. And sometimes it seems, even in the world of well-organized religion and people trying their best to practice it, we sometimes might forget the deep need that we have for a Savior, as simple as that. And we need to acknowledge that, and we have one.
We also need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to be faithful to the gospel, and realize that Christianity is not a self-help movement. We are rather people who entrust ourselves to God as the only source of our salvation and our help. And so we pray for God's grace and we live dependent on God's grace every day. And we pray to cooperate with God's grace so God can accomplish his work in the world through us. But if we are trying to do it on our own, or if we believe that the storms we face are somehow a sign of God's absence or God's punishment, or that we are not doing God's will, then we will not be faithful. So we have to have correct faith. And correct faith is that, which allows us to trust in the presence of Jesus with us, be obedient to his commands, carry out his mission, and not waver in the face of resistance and opposition.
Upon seeing Jesus walk and Peter struggle but be saved, those remaining in the boat were able to see, wow, this Jesus really is the Son of God. 2 weeks in a row, we find that proclaimed, first by our Heavenly Father on the Mountain of Transfiguration last week, and now by the disciples in the boat this week.
Very good connection, by the way. Yes, the disciples do come to deeper faith, and they come to deeper faith by seeing what happened in Peter's experience. Sometimes we think that God has to reveal himself to us personally and individually before, we can really have that kind of faith. But we need to remember that when we are the body of Christ, the way in which God works in one person's life should instruct all of us so that we all grow in deeper faith by witnessing God's saving presence in those around us. And so the disciples were able to grow in faith even as they saw what Jesus had done in Peter's own life. And we need to have that same kind of faith that recognizes God's movement, presence, grace, and mercy in those around us. And that should lead us to deeper faith as well.
Poor Peter, once again, used as a cautionary tale. But again, thinking back to last week as well, how God was revealed in that mountaintop experience, and those on the mountaintop were able to learn that at that time. But then here in a very much a valley experience, a fear of the storm, Peter of drowning as well, finding out about the Lord all at the same time. And so the Lord can come to us in the mountaintop and maybe even in some more important ways in the valley.
I would even say that the Lord is trying to come into our lives every moment of every day. And in every experience, it can and should be an opportunity for God's revelation to us, whether it be the consoling, comforting, you know, exhilarating mountaintop experiences, or as you say, whether it be those moments of great need and vulnerability and distress. The Lord is always with us, always wanting to reveal himself to us and always asking us to entrust ourselves to his providence.
And you think of what great meaning that gives and what great excitement too for life to know the Lord trying to be with us moment by moment, you know, whether it might be in that accident, we're stuck in a valley situation. It might be a great moment in church and we have that mountaintop experience. It might be slogging through work and it's a tough assignment. We're trying to get done by the deadline. He's there in all of those moments. Just a great thought. We appreciate all your great thoughts each and every week on the Weekly Gospels. Bishop Muggenberg, if you'd be so kind as to wrap us up with your blessing.
The Lord be with you. And may the blessing of Almighty God, who sends us on mission and encourages us to have confidence and persevere in the face of storms, always sustain us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Bishop Muggenberg. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today, a true gold medal performance. At the World Championships in Budapest, the USA's Anita Alvarez sank to the bottom of the pool. Looking across the deck and noticing that she was under way too long, her coach, Andrea Fuentes, immediately dove in after her, fully clothed, pulling her to safety. Anita was unconscious and didn't have the capacity to kick, paddle, or help herself in any way. Andrea would not have noticed. She would have drowned, but she knew Anita, and she looked for her, quickly noticed that she was under too long, and then dove in without thinking twice. This has resonated with me. When you are underwater too long, who are the people that will look for you, notice and dive in to pull you to the surface when you lose your strength to swim? Who are the people that would do that for you? And can someone count on you to be that person that would go looking and notice when they were under too long, diving in to support them when they're all out of fight and fuel to swim in these turbulent waters of life? Philippians 2:4 reminds us, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Just a quick reminder, you can listen to all of Glenn's Story Corners or our Morning Air podcast or any segment you want to share with others. Simply download it on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic and pro-life attorney Mary Helen Fiorito will join us to talk about the disappointing loss in Ohio's special election this week and the national implications. Plus, certified Catholic life coach Jenna Quinlan, the host of the Finding Joy in Marriage and Motherhood podcast, will be with us to discuss what your sons need from their moms and their dads. So stay with us. We are just warming up on this Friday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.